All right, amen and amen. I hope you have your King James Bible. Let's grab that. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and it's good to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and we want to look at the Word of God. And I want to say, the longer I live, the more I feel the reality of the events of the book of Revelation coming true. Years ago, I'm talking back in the 1970s, there was quite an interest in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I remember handing out chick tracts back then, comic book tracts that would talk about the beast and the revelation and things that would be happening during that time. And now it's like, it's no joke. Those things are happening right now. They're so real. And I feel it. Because I was saved in 1967, so I've been watching really avidly since 1967 for the events of the Revelation, and am still avidly watching. And the last book of the Bible is the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and it's the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And the word revelation is the word apocalypsis. It is the word for unveiling or uncovering. And it means that the Lord Jesus is uncovered or revealed or unveiled in his second coming glory. What it's going to be like in his second coming. And it's all about his second coming. And the revelation points us to that and to get ready for that. And so it is awesome. It's an amazing intervention that's coming upon our world to redeem the church. And if you feel like right now there's more and more like spiritual warfare, and it's more intense, how many feel that? More intense spiritual warfare? It's because it is. And the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and evil will increase as the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And it's all setting up for a showdown, my friends, that will rock the world. A showdown that will rock the world. And we're heading to that great showdown. And so this is going to be an awesome intervention. The Lord, the first thing he's going to do is look to his church, his bride. And that's you and I that are saved during this time. He's going to take us out of the world before he pours out his wrath. I believe in what's called the pre-wrath rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not appointed us unto what? Wrath. Now, we do go through the wrath of Satan. We don't go through the wrath of man. We've experienced that, but thank God, God goes with us through that and helps us. But we'll never have to go through the wrath of God. The wrath of God is coming to a world near you. God is going to pour out his wrath. It will be hell on earth, but we won't be here for that. And it will be poured out in fire. The first time God poured out his wrath during the Genesis flood in water. He flooded the whole world. Only 8 people survived because God saved them. The second time he will pour out his wrath in fire, and it will be with the trumpet judgments and then what's called the vial, which are like shallow bowls judgments that will be poured out within a 3-week period, a little over about 25-day period, will finish the world off with God giving a flurry of punches to literally knock this world senseless. And this is coming. The prophets have said it throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, apostles and prophets have said it, and there's no clearer unveiling of this whole event and the events around it than the book of Revelation, the last book in the inspired Bible. And so John the Apostle received and wrote the revelation. He was on the Isle of Patmos, being imprisoned there by a Roman emperor by the name of Domitian. Around AD 96, he wrote the book, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost and given prophetic revelation of the second coming. And the Bible says that when that happened, he was transported in time. It's like he went ahead and traveled in time in the vision of the revelation. And if you notice Revelation 1, verse 10, it talks about this revelation. And you can go to Revelation and chapter 1 and verse 10, and I'll read it. And here's what it says about that being transported. It says, "And I was in the Spirit," this is John, "and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." And so John was transported ahead in time to a period of time called the Lord's day. Another way to say that is a period of time called the day of the Lord. And in the Bible, the day of the Lord is a period of time that will be when God pours out his wrath and judges this world and burns this world up. The Bible says he's going to burn it up. And when he burns it, he will not annihilate it and completely destroy it, but he'll burn it and he'll prepare it for his kingdom to be set up on this earth. And he will burn down all of the filth and wickedness. And that is the time when John said he went forward into that time. And he wrote from being in that time period called the Lord's Day, the Day of the Lord. And then he wrote an outline of the book of Revelation. If you want to see an outline of the book, I have seen this later on. I used to give another outline, but this is truly the outline, I believe, really outlines the book of Revelation. And go to chapter 1, verse 19. John was told, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Now keep in mind, he's writing from what standpoint, what time period? He's transported in verse 10, previous to this, to the future, to the day of the Lord. So the things which are the things during what period of time? The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. And so write the things which are. Well, what are the things that thou hast seen, John? All the things from John's day and the seven churches in John's day throughout church history, because those seven churches apply to churches, types of churches throughout church history, right up through the 70th week and the beginning of sorrows, the great tribulation, right up until just before the day of the Lord's wrath. And it even covers the rapture, and it covers the marking of the Jewish people that will be protected during the day of the Lord's wrath. So when are the things that thou hast seen, John? They are the things in chapter 1 of Revelation all the way up through Revelation 7. Now, when you get to Revelation 8, it's going to say there was silence in heaven for a half hour. Does one of the men know what that silence was preparing for that's going to be unleashed in chapter 8?
It's for a half hour, and it's going to be the wrath of God that's dished out quickly.
That's exactly right. The wrath of God, which will be poured out from that time on, and it will be somewhere during the second 3.5 years of the 7 years of Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, a 7-year period that Daniel prophesied, and that wrath of God will be poured out somewhere during the second 3.5 years of that 7 years. And so Revelation 1, the things that thou hast seen, go all the way from John's day, all the way up just before that, when the church is raptured in chapter 7, that's where the rapture is, and Israel is protected to go through that day of the Lord's wrath so that they can survive it. And there's 144,000 that will be the first ones saved after the wrath of God. First ones saved, or I should say after the end of the 7 years, that will be saved from the nation of Israel. 144,000 sealed and protected. That's all chapter 7. So chapter 1 through 7, the things that thou hast seen, the things which are the things that will be associated in heaven and earth with the pouring out of God's wrath. And that'll be all the way from chapter 8 through chapter 19. Chapter 8 through chapter 19 deal with all of those things. And in chapter 19, you have a great battle. What is the final battle to end all battles? It's earth against heaven. It's Jesus Christ against Antichrist and the beast. And it's God against the devil. What is that final battle called?
Armageddon.
Yes, the Battle of Armageddon. And I had the privilege to be there on that battlefield. I went there with my wife, and a Jewish guide showed us that great battlefield. Napoleon called it the world's greatest battlefield. It's a huge plain, the plain of Esdraelon, and you see it there in Israel. A lot of interesting historical things are there. And that's where that battle is going to take place, and it's going to be, get this, the whole world and all the armies of the world, the Russian bear, the Chinese dragon, and the European nations, the led by Germany, the great power in Europe is Germany. It's always Germany against the world, you know. They're a powerful entity. And Germany will be there, the leopard and the lion, represented by England and all of her young lions. And that will all be there in a big world government, in a big United Nations, and their goal will be to shoot down Jesus. And can you imagine? The Bible says the Lord's going to laugh when he sees that happening. But anyway, that is what happens there. So the things which are from chapter 8 right through 19, and then the things which shall be hereafter. I'm glad that we have the ending, and it's a happy ending. Amen? And the things which shall be hereafter. The book of God ends happily. You ever read those books where it says, and they lived happily ever after? I kind of like that, you know? And you think of Sleeping Beauty, Princess Aurora. Remember, she pricked her finger and she was kissed by Prince Charming. And everything was cursed when she was sleeping, and weeds were over everything. And then he came and kissed her, and that was her bridegroom, you know, woke her up. And the curse was lifted, and the birds sang. And that's like Jesus when he comes back. And what he's going to do is set up his kingdom over the whole earth. And he's going to get rid of the curse. And that's mentioned in chapter 20. An overview of that is in chapter 20. Then it's mentioned in more detail in chapter 21 and 22, the kingdom of the Lord coming to earth, where Jesus is going to reign first for 1,000 years, and then after that, Jesus will continue to reign in the eternal state, and heaven will be on earth. You know that your home will be, if you die now, you go to heaven, way up there. But heaven is coming down. Did you know that? And it's going to be here during the kingdom phase. It'll be hovering as a chandelier city right over Jerusalem and right over Mount Zion, which will be elevated at that time to be the highest of the mountains of the world. Anyway, it's glorious. And these things, as Peter said, they are not cunningly devised fables. They are things that that we look forward to. Now, for our sermon tonight, turn please to Revelation chapter 14, and it's actually going to start at verse 9. My sermon is going to start at verse 9, Revelation 14 and verse number 9, and it continues. This chapter of Revelation continues the chronological flow of time after Christ has touched down on earth at the end of the 7 years called Daniel's 70th week. You have to understand that the second coming happens sometime during the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. No man knows the day or the hour. And you have to understand that. You have to understand the whole seven years is not the tribulation period. That's only a part of it. And the day of the Lord is part of it. And the beginning of sorrows is part of it. You have to understand that. And here the Lord, he comes back first in his second coming. And there are not two second comings. These guys that say there are two second comings don't know their Bible. They don't know all the words in our English Bible for coming. There are more than one word for coming. And the word that I use a lot is a word called parousia. And it has to do with coming and then doing a number of events. Jesus had how many first comings? One. But did it happen in one moment? In a twinkling of an eye? No. It happened over 33 and a half years. So likewise, his second coming will be a period of time under 3.5 years, but it will involve a time, a part of 3.5 years, and it will go beyond the 70th week for 30 days. which is called the time when he reclaims the earth. And so Jesus, when he comes in the clouds, he will catch us up, but then he begins to pour out his wrath as they see his glory in the atmosphere, and he's pouring out his wrath. That's part of his second coming. And then he literally comes and touches down on the earth at the very end of the 7 years, at the end of the 70th week. And he's touching down, and he doesn't come down in Jerusalem. He comes down to earth in what country? What ancient country? Does any of the men know where he actually touches down? What is the name of that country?
Jordan.
Yes, modern-day Jordan. And in the Old Testament, it was called Edom, but now it's called Jordan. But he will touch down in Edom, which is south and east.